Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I do invite you to call me live on the broadcast today. Today I will be going to your questions live. I promise the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, I'll be going to your calls in just a few moments, 888-ASK-HANK. Also taking some Facebook questions today. But my son, David, who is sort of leading me along the path of digital media, wanted me to make a couple of announcements that I think are very important. I like what he wrote out for me. He pointed out that last week, and in subsequent weeks, I've sort of given you an idea of what the world looks like from my hospital bed while I'm getting a transfusion or experiencing chemo. What I'm doing, in essence, is giving you a behind-the-scenes look at what's going on in my life. Well, David wanted to up the ante just a little bit, and so tomorrow I'm going to be doing something I've never done before. I'm going to be doing a special Facebook Live to take you behind the scenes so that you can experience what goes on before, during, and after the recording of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of people that come in here and watch, well, they kind of see some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You're going to have a bird's eye view. We're going to show you what's going on as I prepare to do the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Of course, I've been very much enjoying Facebook Live. In fact, I've enjoyed it as much as hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And so here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to blend the two in this exclusive behind-the-scenes experience. So make sure to like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and subscribe to our live feed and make sure you don't miss it. In other words, we're doing something unprecedented in CRI history, unprecedented with respect to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, all of that coming up right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Lord willing, tomorrow. I also want to remind you of the new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. The podcast is called Hank Unplugged. We're going to call it Hank Unleashed, Unglued. A lot of ideas about what to call it, but we're calling it Hank Unplugged. And this is less didactic and teaching in terms of format and a whole lot more me leaning back in dialogue form, having a conversation. The first episode was with Frederica Matthews Green. And I'll tell you what, this was an extraordinary conversation. And I want you to hear it. It's the first of many conversations with key mind shapers, culture shapers, people who know what's going on, and people who are making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. So check out Hank Unplugged, the podcast. Head to iTunes, subscribe, and we're going to go on a journey together. Also want to mention a couple of resources. This is the Make It or Break It month for the Christian Research Institute. It's the month in which We ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. I have a couple of great resources, one by the Southern Baptist writer Russell Moore. It's simply titled Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. It's an absolutely phenomenal book. It's one of these books you just can't miss. You can't afford it. Can't afford not to have it in your library. I also have the book, The Benedict Option by Rod Dreher. I can't say enough about this book. I think it's absolutely brilliant. If you want to get both books, they're available for your gift of $100 or more. Check it out on the web. Equip.org, again, just simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter C, or I will go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Christy, listening in Portland, Maine, on the web. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The reason I'm calling is I'm struggling with Hebrews 6:6, and I think it reverts back to numbers somewhere, maybe numbers 13. When I was younger, I'd gone to Catholic school, and I was in a youth group when I was 16, but I was a bit of a wild child. I had some troubled parents and a troubled youth, and through my 20s, I continued that all the way up to leaving my first husband and committing adultery and just doing horrible, horrible, horrible things. And now that I see this verse, I've been really freaked out, I guess you could say, on whether or not this means I've lost my salvation.
Well,
or they're talking about people who don't believe in Jesus at all anymore after being saved.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of arguments that could be made about that passage. I mean, there are Jews. This is written to Hebrews, presumably by the Apostle Paul, who tasted God's goodness. In other words, they knew about God. They agreed that Jesus Christ was Lord. But they went back to their old traditions, not holy traditions, but human traditions. And I think what ultimately we have to say in your case is that it's not enough to know about Jesus Christ. It's not enough to agree that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. We need to depend on Jesus Christ, and that is an active participation in the kingdom of God. If you are a friend of God, if you are a follower of Christ, Christ isn't looking to throw some technicalities into the process to mix you up or mess you up. He is doing all he can so that you can have a walk with him that not only gets you into eternity, but more important, allows you to experience life in the present that is life to the full. So I think the real issue is an attitude of the heart. If your attitude is to return to the vomit, as it were, of the world, then you don't have a truly repentant heart. However, if your attitude is, Lord, my will, my way, subjected to you, I want to take up my cross and daily follow you, a God is going to meet you, and he's going to carry you, and he's going to use you for his glory, but never in isolation. When you pick up your cross, you do it within the community, the fellowship of the saints, because it is within the community of faith that you partake in the graces that allow you to live not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, by his spirit, I should say, which is a critical distinction. We can try to live life by our own energy, or we can live by all his energy, which so powerfully works in us. And again, those graces, those energies, as it were, are dispensed through the church by way of communion or the Eucharist, by way of disciplines in the spiritual gymnasium, by way of following Christ and becoming an active participant in the kingdom. But this is not any kind of road that you can go alone. So let's forget about the past. Let's move on into the future. The real issue is, do you want to follow Christ? Do you want to take up your cross? And do you want Christ to be preeminent in your life. If that's what you want, you're going to find total fulfillment no matter what state you find yourself in.
Well, that's a relief, to say the least. I really appreciate your time, Hank. We actually just found a church to join. I've been watching church on TV for years, so I'm hopeful that, you know, we can start this going forward and stay on the right path.
Well, and again, you can't take this road alone, so it's not you and your TV, you and your Bible, you and your confession. You have to become a vital reproducing member of a healthy, well-balanced church. And so I'm delighted that that is your desire.
Absolutely. Chasing God with both feet. So well, I'm relieved to hear that this is your take on that scripture.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Hank.
God bless you. Let me take a Facebook question. Fred, interesting question. Hank, please offer some insights into how you do research and study in order to discover the truths that you teach. Well, that is a big question, and I suppose that I've often used three words to describe what I do at the Christian Research Institute. There's top, pop, and slop. In order to be able to do what we do, not just individually, but as an institute, it's important for us to engage top apologetics. In other words, grapple with the deep issues on a deep level. But to remain there would be a disservice for our constituency. So what I attempt to do is take the complex and make it simple and transferable. If you don't do top apologetics, you end up doing slop apologetics, which means all you're doing is regurgitating things that people have said, which may or may not be true. But if you do top apologetics, then you can take apologetics and popularize that for your constituency, and that is what we've been doing at the Christian Research Institute for many, many years. Taking the complex, making it simple and transferable so that you might not only hear, but remember and then use what you have learned for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We have two tracks that we run on. It's not just an intellectual track. It's not only the truth track. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So He's the way and the truth. He's the way and the life. There is a track that we run on that's very important. Truth matters. If you're guided by the Book of Mormon, you're going to fall into the abyss. If you're guided by the Quran, you're going to miss the mark. So you have to have a reliable authority, a reliable map, if you will. But the map is not the territory. The menu's not the meal. The cradle shouldn't be mistaken for its occupant. So there's, along with the truth line, as it were, there's a lifeline. And that involves the importance of experiencing deification. What Peter spoke of when he said, we are to be partakers of the divine nature. And as I said on yesterday's broadcast, when I did an interview with Frederica Matthews Green, the Eucharist or communion or the Lord's table, a lot of different monikers by which you can describe this, is the principal means by which we experience the graces by which we can experience deification. Now, we'll never become what God is in the Godhead. It's an abomination to think that we would. But we are brought into fellowship with the Trinity. We are brought into union with God. We are brought into a state where we can live the Christian life not just by our own energies, but by all His energies which so powerfully work in us. So I look at primary resources when I do my research. I look at extra-biblical Christian sources, the writings of the Church Fathers. I look at ancient non-Christian sources, a lot to be learned by people such as Josephus and Tacitus and Suetonius and Plinius, and the list goes on. I'm very aware of historical and current scholarship. All of that is what we do at the Christian Research Institute, so that the answers that you get are reliable and trustworthy. Here comes station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Instrument broadcast. A quick plug for the journal. If you have not subscribed, first time I did the cover story and the back story. A great addition to the Christian Research Journal, chock full of information, beautifully presented. If you haven't subscribed, take an opportunity to do that at equip.org. Or simply talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Let's not merely advocate for causes, says Russell Moore. Let's not aspire to be a moral majority, but a gospel community. One that doesn't exist for itself, but for the larger mission of reaching the whole world with the whole gospel. That sort of kingdom-first cultural engagement drives us not inward, but onward. Because retreat or surrender is not an option for Christians who care deeply about God's kingdom and our religious liberties as Americans, we want you to have Russell Moore's vital book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. To receive your copy of this timely and insightful book, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I was handed, as I walked into the studio, a pretty thick pile of papers, all of which are commendations on the ministry. And I was reading through some of them as I was preparing for the broadcast and thinking, some of these are just too delicious not to read on air. Here's an example. This one from Laura. She says, in 1988, I was led to Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast while milking goats in my barn, of all places, in Las Vegas. Thanks, Hank. You have been a rock in a crazy world for me. Teresa, she says, I love listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I am a nurse, and I work with an oncologist. I'm so sorry that you're now having to go through cancer, but hang in there. God has your back, and you will make it through. Thank you, Teresa. And then she says, make sure you drink plenty of fluids and stay hydrated. I'm glad you said that, because I've been told that many times, and oftentimes I forget to do it. I probably need to set a little alarm so that every hour I drink a bottle of water. Here's one from Crystal. She's upset. She says, I'm upset with Bot Radio, national religious broadcasters, and others who have turned their back on Dr. Hanegraaff to rejoin the Greek Orthodox Church. Why? Why? Why turn your back? And now give Satan another crack in the Christian faith to exploit. Well, there are many, many more, but I'm going to leave those for another day. We'll go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Jay in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Hello. Hello, Ms. Hanegraaff. I appreciate your time, sir. God bless you.
God bless you.
My question is, maybe it's a little uncomfortable, but I don't know that you always go to the Word and, you know, find the answer for me. I've been married over 25 years, and my wife and I, we've always enjoyed a healthy sex life, but the last few years she hasn't, you know, been wanting to, you know, have relations with me, and it's just been really hard, and I know that it's not right to masturbate, you know, but I just don't know what else to do, sir. I feel uncomfortable also with it. I'm really trying to let the Holy Spirit regenerate me, and I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, and I want to live for Jesus. So what's your opinion on that, sir, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably presumptive for me to try to diagnose the whole situation as an electronic soundbite, but let me give you a couple of principles. The first principle, from my perspective, would simply be that for you to have a satisfying relationship with your wife on a mental, on a spiritual, on a physical plane takes the investment of quality time. I mean, I think we oftentimes treat, and I was talking about this in an interview I did earlier this afternoon, we often treat God no better than we do our most cherished relationships. What I mean by that is we want intimacy without the investment of quality time. And I think just as we often rush into God's presence before our knees have hit the ground, we're already thinking about getting back into a frenzied lifestyle. I think in the same way, we do the same thing with our treasured relationships. We don't nurture them. When you don't nurture them, well, then you end up being in a situation where solo sex becomes the only way. to relieve that particular God-given gift. But that's not the way to do it. Solo sex does not fit God's design because it is divorced from the beauty of marital sex being relational and a way to serve another selflessly. It is radically focused on self, to wit, solo sexuality. It's radically focused on self. It misses the signpost reality in every way for what we would term holy sex. And remember, when two people come together, it's not open, it's closed. It is a holy communion between two people. So there are some basic principles. The Bible doesn't speak directly to this, but it does speak to it in principle. The basic principles: don't lust, don't fantasize after someone you're not married to. Certainly, masturbation in conjunction with pornography is sinful. But what we can say the Bible's explicit about is that we were created male and female with sexual intercourse to be restricted within marriage. And I think an argument could be made that we were made for sexual union, male and female, not for, as I mentioned earlier on, solo sexual activity. So I think it's important to go back to the root cause and nurture that relationship. Get counseling if you need counseling. Do what you do within the community of faith so that you're not walking this path alone, and get some good resources. One of my favorites is by Joe Dallas. He called it the Game Plan, the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. I think this is one of the most helpful books I've ever promoted over the years, particularly in an age in which there's rampant pornography, there's a lot of solo sexuality, and this brings you back to a baseline where you can start nurturing the relationship and start using your vessel in a way that's pleasing to the Lord as opposed to displeasing to the Lord.
Yes, well, that's good. That is really good, sir. I can see how we could do that. That opened my eyes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Jay, thank you for calling, and thanks for being this
call. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you. And let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Daniel, listening in Illinois on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. Hank, I want to give you a shout-out. First and foremost, I applaud you. I applaud what you've done over the last 30 years. I've been a Christian for 6 years. So I've only listened to you for 6 years, but I think all of the naysayers and all of the people that have, and I don't know all of the history, Hank, quite frankly, but I've heard you in commentary at times be somewhat saddened by people that have come against you after you've been faithful for so many years. And, you know, what difference does it make whether you're an Orthodox or a Eastern Orthodox, Catholic, evangelist, Lutheran. I mean, you know, the basic premise, as you have taught me and as the Lord has taught me and as I've read in Scripture, as I'm getting my master's degree in apologetics at Biola University, is love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind and all of your strength, and love others as He has loved them. I mean, where has judgment come in on that? So, you know, I applaud you. I pray for you. I thank you for your ministry, for everything that you've done. And I think hold your head up high and move forward. And God bless you, Hank. That's my comment. My question is about transubstantiation in the Catholic Church. You know, I'm a non-denominational Christian. I don't readily espouse to it myself, but I wanted to hear your comments. I'm going to hang up, and God bless you, Hank.
Yeah, well, transubstantiation is a way of the Western Church explaining what's going on with respect to the real presence of Christ. In the Eastern Church, that explanation is unnecessary. The reason it's unnecessary is in the Eastern Church, no explanation would ever satisfy because this is a great mystery. The Latins called it the mysterium tremendum et fascinans, the mystery that causes us to tremble and yet attracts us. So it is a great mystery. I have no ability whatsoever to explain to you how Christ is really present in the wine and the bread. I just know what the Lord Jesus Christ so clearly has taught me in Scripture. And that is life flows from the one true vine to its outstretched branches. And as such, the branches are empowered to bear fruit. A branch can never bear fruit if it is separated from the vine. A branch cannot bear fruit if it is cut off from other branches. And so I take seriously the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on me, he who feeds on the living bread, will live forever. So there's an unambiguous point here from my perspective. And that is, in order to remain alive spiritually, you have to continuously feed on the body and blood of Christ. And although the Gospel of John doesn't record the institution of Holy Communion, as the other Gospels most certainly do, the report by John of our Lord's words offer, in my view, the clearest, the most profound biblical understanding of the living power inherent in the real presence of Christ. So when we partake of what we call not a sacrament, but a mystical supper instituted by the Lord, we live in him, he lives in us, and when we do not, we lack life. And the words of our Lord are emphatic in this regard. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. On a personal level, and I've been talking about this a lot because I've staked my whole ministry on this, my life on this. On a personal level, apart from the body and blood of Christ, I don't know where I'd be. I guess I do know where I'd be. I would be relegated to bios. But I've experienced uncreated energy flowing through my body. It has allowed me to be a partaker of the divine nature. It has been revolutionary in my life as I prepare week by week to encounter the real presence of Christ. Can't explain it? No words will do. It's a great mystery. Coming up to Station Break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions, a number to dial 888-ASK-HANK, and the quote of the day.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of post-truth culture, and it's changing the West for the worst. What's needed now in shifting times, says Russell Moore, is neither a doubling down on the status quo nor a pullback into isolation. Instead, we need a church that speaks to social and political issues with a bigger vision in mind, that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moore's book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel, will equip you to refocus and make a difference for time and for eternity. To receive your copy of Onward as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
And I return with a quote of the day. It's from Dallas Willard. He was an American philosopher, professor at the University of Southern California, and he wrote some incredible books, books that I've read over and over again, including The Divine Conspiracy and The Spirit of the Disciplines. Here's what Dallas Willard had to say when he was in the flesh. The damage done to our practical faith in Christ and in His government at hand by confusing heaven with a place in distant or outer space or even beyond space is incalculable. Of course, God is there too, but instead of heaven and God also being always present with us, as Jesus shows them to be, we invariably take them to be located far away and most likely at a much later time. Not here, not now. And we should then be surprised to feel ourselves alone? I love this quote because what we learn through this quote is that God is not a God far away. He is a God nearby. Now, there's a sense in which if you read Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, speaking for the Lord, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I will not find him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" Well, what's going on there? People have made idols into gods. They're nearby gods, but they're not real gods. The real God is not only near, but he has the whole of history in his hand. Again, a delicious quote by Dallas Willard. Also want to mention something from the Benedict option, Rod Dreher. Again, it's one of the resources. I absolutely love it. Particularly when he writes about Alexis de Tocqueville, who was convinced that democracy could not survive the loss of the Christian faith. Try starting a democracy in Iraq. What an ill-fated idea that was, where Sharia is state and state is Sharia. But he says self-government required shared convictions about moral truths. Christian faith drew men outside themselves and taught them that laws must be firmly rooted in a moral order revealed and guaranteed by God. And therefore, if a democratic nation loses religion, he wrote, then it falls prey to inordinate individualism, to materialism, democratic despotism, and inevitably prepares its citizens for servitude. Therefore, said de Tocqueville, one must maintain Christianity within the new democracies at all costs. And of course, we have not done that. And we're reaping the whirlwind. I don't want to steal his thunder, but get the book, The Benedict Option, available for your support. If you want both Russell Moore's great book, Onward, and The Benedict Option, both available for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And do remember, this is the Make It or Break It month every year, particularly this year. I had a few people run for the exits this year. We lost many, many stations. I got kicked off of NRB television. A lot has happened, but the Lord keeps on opening more and bigger doors for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and we want you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. If you can give, give generously. Give this month. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Next up, Vince, Canadian listener, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. He's listening on KARI. Hi, Vince.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I just want to say thanks. I'm a truck driver out in Surrey, British Columbia, and I listen all the time. I appreciate what you do. I commend you in your difficult challenges as of late. I mean, that's whether your health concerns or your conversion, that you've definitely it's quite admirable the way you're handling it. So I just want to say I can tell the grace of God is with you. So it just I want to say thank you and commend you. I have a friend of mine who is been talking a lot about something called preterism.
Yeah,
and I was Googling it, and your name came up, and I thought I'd ask you about preterism because not so much of from a just the the idea, I guess. But he hasn't been baptized, and he is saying that he doesn't need to get baptized because of if preterism is true, then Jesus Christ is back, and things like this. So he's saying, yeah, because of his preterist belief, he doesn't need to get baptized because Christ is back, and I don't really know what to do.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, well, it isn't right. In fact, it is a pernicious heresy. Preterism, it actually comes from the Latin word praeter, meaning past. And it is the view that eschatological events prophesied in the Bible have already taken place. But I think you have to be very careful when you talk about this subject, because preterism manifests in two basic forms. There's the partial preterist form, and then there's the hyper-preterist form. So if you talk about partial preterism, that is within the pale of Christian orthodoxy, in that it postulates that the bodily return of Christ, the bodily resurrection of the dead, the final resolution of sin, all of that is yet future. But if you hold the full preterist position, it's heretical in that it presumes all prophecy, including the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of Christians, has already been fulfilled. It's a weird and wacky eschatology, and it is certainly very, very dangerous. And I like the way you phrased your question, because what you did in doing so is you pointed out that there are dramatic ramifications in how your friend wants to live his life. No need to get baptized if the bodily resurrection has already happened. The truth of the matter is, and I can say this with 100% clarity and certainty, is Jesus will appear a second time. And when he does, you're going to find thorns and thistles in your garden. The universe that groans in travail will be liberated. That is not now. That is not now the case. I mean, if you go into my yard, you can find all kinds of weeds. But there's going to be a time where the universe is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. There's going to be time when we too are liberated, that we are going to be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That has not happened. So the words of Jesus ring strong and true. Do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Back to the phone lines, Alice, Bellingham, Washington. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Hank. My question is about your take on this. Kathy, what's her name, that acted out the Muslim chop off the president, murder the president, chop off his head, hold it up. This is actually physically going on in Syria and all over in the Arab areas. This is not a funny thing. There are crazies out there. But besides that, this other professor that came along and called Peel, he needed to be hung. He needed to be killed. That's motivating people. Just like we know how well that works for the Black Lives Matter people. They come out and, get rid of the police. They're the problem. So they go out and shoot them, and they do. And I've even seen that in Seattle a few years back. Well, after that Brown thing where what's his name? The policeman defended himself and stuff. There was a guy in Seattle, and they played it over and over on our local news, was that this guy said, somebody, doesn't no black people go here, got any guts, you need to get out there and kill these guys and show them who's boss. So a bunch of black ones said, okay, and they went out and they did, and they killed a bunch of policemen. I think our president is in really dire danger of being assassinated by these ultra-liberals calling it. But the next station after you program says that they're called the Wretched something or other. It's supposed to be a Christian one, and they think it's terrible that Christians would find any kind of an outrage or be angry and think that there should be any consequences for this, because
sure.
afterwards they said, oh, forgive me, my bad.
Yeah. No. Well, let me respond real quickly because I'm almost out of time. Kathy Griffin is a very profane person. She has publicly stated things against God that I cannot repeat. So from that standpoint, she is exercising her job description as a pagan. Pagans do what pagans do. What else would they do? I think the real issue becomes, what are we doing as Christians? We're called to be salt and light. And when the salt loses its saltiness, how will it be made salty again? Jesus said it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. But something else that you brought up in this context, in the prologue to your question, I think bears some comment as well. And that is that there is a Holocaust taking place with Orthodox Christians in the Middle East. Christians are being mass genocide subjected, meaning that Christians are being crucified. Their fingertips are being cut on, rendering them useless. They're being exiled, executed. They have the N written on their houses for follower of the Nazarene. I think it's high time that we start praying for our brothers and sisters who are not in some kind of weird expression in the West, but are actually facing the real deal, torture, vilification for the cause of Christ. And may we be able to stand as they have stood. Out of time. See you tomorrow with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.